I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Perhaps, like me, you have been paying some attention to the COP26 conference in Glasgow this week. I watched part of the opening ceremony, and I was absolutely blown away by the presentation given by Sir David Attenborough. At the age of 95, he spoke with vigor, with passion, and of course with immense knowledge about the state of our climate and the urgent need for the world to come together. The frightening images that accompanied his presentation drove the point home even more. Similarly, Her Majesty the Queen spoke in her own poignant remarks, noting that some speak about the work of today being politics, whereas the work of tomorrow is statesmanship. And isn't it up to all of us to heed that call? We have a monumental task ahead of us to rise to the challenge of statesmanship, each and every one of us, to put away personal pride and greed and waste and political divide for the preservation of the climate and the future of the planet. And in every moment of pain and uncertainty and of crisis, and into this moment, we hear these words: I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. St. John's glorious dream, which came to him while imprisoned on the island of Patmos, revealed the hope and the promise, the vision, actually, that God's kingdom will come on earth as in heaven. Down through the ages, there are people, men, women, young and old, who have been part of ushering in that new heaven and that new earth. We remember them today. We know them as the saints of God. A saint is someone through whom the light shines. And so it is, as fall darkens into winter, the Church's calendar provides in the Feast of All Saints a glorious splash of color and light. All Saints is that time of the year that comes along to assure us that we do not live in one world. We actually live in two. And the veil between them is really not as wide as we often think it is. There is an enormous amount that is unseen, yet totally real, which at All Saints' Tide comes to us and makes us reevaluate our continual chasing after those tangible goals which are so often an illusion and can lead us down the garden path. That doesn't for a moment mean that we are to withdraw from the world. But it does mean that the world, with its demands and its dilemmas, is not all there is to life. And maybe it's a bit like an iceberg. We look at an iceberg and see only 1/10 above the surface. The biggest part is under the water, its bumps and protrusions and sharp edges, its mass and bulk out of view, but there nevertheless. So that great cloud of witnesses by which we are surrounded, and as described in our liturgy, is a profound reality. God the Father has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, that kingdom that can so easily beat us up, the one that can overwhelm us and suck us in. And we have been transferred and transformed to the kingdom of his beloved Son. When pressed to describe this enormous company, we must use human words because that's all we have. We say that we belong by our baptism to a community that is already long established. We belong already to the communion of saints. It may sound a little bit strange, but I have a real sense that loved ones in my own life who have died are actually very near to me, even though they are no longer in this world. And you may have that sense as well in your own life. Those we love but see no longer are part of that living reality of the whole church that transcends time and space. And if the resurrection of Jesus means anything at all, it means that all those faithful and those whose faith is known only to God, who are gone from our sight, are indeed alive in Christ in a life beyond death. And if there is life beyond death, which is what we attest to all the time as Christians, then what we know here is only part of the story. What we do and who we are is only part of what shall be, and indeed what already is. And so to come to worship today, as we are finally able to do here in person, is to hopefully be lifted out of the daily round of activities, of buying and selling, of working and playing, of suffering and rejoicing, and to become aware that what we are doing each day fits into a far larger context than we can normally see. Surely we all know by now that there never was a person whom we or others call a saint who ever thought themselves to be one. When we read the lives of the saints, we discover the one thing they had in common was not a conviction that they were heroes, but the conviction that they were in some way chief among sinners. We think that holiness is out of the range of the ordinary Christian. Then we find that many saints were just ordinary people who were themselves, and yet they made an extraordinary response to the call of God. Their experience is the treasure upon which we can draw to face our own situation. One of the merits of solemnly remembering the saints is that it puts the contemporary church into its true context. We get the measure of our present problems when we compare them with what our predecessors had to encounter. They too faced trials and temptations, a world of broken promises and vain ambitions. And yet they endured as seeing him who is invisible. They tried to make this world a better place. They strove with all of their might and the gifts they have been given by God to bring in a day when God's will would be done on earth as in heaven. And yes, we are called with them to the same kind of life. Not just to reach up and touch some invisible reality, but to reach out and touch the world that is as close as the person sitting next to us. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are given that gift, that passport, so to speak, at our baptism. And here's what a dear old priest friend, Father Donald, told me about that. He said, it's not a passport to get us to heaven, but a passport from heaven to live within this world as representatives of a foreign style of life, a different realm with which this world has seldom been comfortable. The hope is that the life of God, the 9/10 of the iceberg, will so penetrate our life that we become fully what God wants us to be. Not holier than thou, just faithful servants, caretakers of each other and of creation, grateful stewards of what has been given to us, people who strive to live the risen life of Jesus Christ here and now. We are encouraged by the good examples of those through the ages who have tried their best to let God's life, God's light, God's love penetrate them to bring vision and creativity and hope for the future. And we are encouraged by Jesus himself, who promises to give sight to the blind, to roll away the stones that seal up the tombs of life, to be with us, to draw near to us, to unbind us as he unbound Lazarus, and to set us free. There's a little story about the new minister in town. He arrived and he didn't know his way around. He couldn't find the post office. So he asked a young boy for directions. And sure enough, the young lad showed him the way. And then he said, "I'm the new minister in town. How about you come to church and I'm going to show you the way to heaven?" The boy looked at him and laughed and he said, "Not on your life, mister. You can't even find the post office." Today, we celebrate those who have found much more than the post office, those who have found their way to heaven and who surround us as a wondrous and great cloud of witnesses. We give thanks for the saints who have gone before us, who strived to make the world a better place by shining the light of Christ. As we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. May their example and may their prayers strengthen us in everything that lies ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.